This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Lots going on in town today. Fed Chief Ben Bernanke is here. Plus, nationally, a government health panel recommends that healthy men should no longer receive the PSA blood test that screen for prostate cancer. The recommendation has not gone over well with some doctors and prostate cancer survivors who say the blood test saves lives. We'll hear more about that a little later in the program.
But first, everybody likes a good deal, especially in a down economy. Now, that explains in part the explosive growth of Groupon and similar companies that offer deep discounts on everything from restaurants to hotels to sporting events.
Now, if you still haven't heard of or tried Groupon, where have you been? No, just kidding. Here is how it works. The company contracts with local merchants and offers online coupons that provide dramatic discounts, sometimes more than 50%. So customers save a lot of money, and the merchants get a bunch of new customers.
That's the theory, anyway. It's made Chicago-based Groupon one of the fastest-growing companies in the world, and it's why Google offered to buy it for an astonishing $6 billion last December, an offer that Groupon has snubbed as it prepares to go public.
But here's the multi-billion dollar question. Are daily discount sites like Groupon a good deal for businesses? The jury is still out on this, though a number of recent studies are raising some doubts.
The latest comes from a team of researchers at BU who concluded that merchants who work with Groupon do get a surge of new customers, but that increase may be short-lived and it might actually hurt them. Joining us to talk about the study is John Byers. He's an associate professor of computer science at BU. And John Byers, welcome. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Also joining us by Skype from Harvard is Ben Edelman. He's assistant professor of business administration at Harvard Business School. He's co-author of a working paper exploring whether or not Groupon is good for businesses in the long term. And Ben Edelman, good to have you.
Thank you.
Now, John Byers, let me start with you. And before we talk about the results, tell us about how you went about the study and collecting all this data.
Okay. Together with Professor Michael Mitzenmacher at Harvard and BU PhD Yorgos Zervas, we collected information on roughly 16,000 Groupon deals in 20 major U.S. markets that were run in the course of 2011. And we investigated basic operational insights that we could glean from this large data set.
So lots of data. What did you find?
Well, I think the most interesting findings as relate to this conversation are in connection with how Groupon is perceived by consumers. And specifically, we looked subsequently at 2,000 deals we could identify on Yelp, where we looked not just at the Groupon deal, but we also looked at how the consumers perceived the merchant after they purchased the deal.
And Yelp, just for listeners who might not know, of course, is the online, it's a review site, essentially. Right?
It's a review site, reviewing primarily restaurants, but pretty much anything under the sun, including WBUR.
Right. And what did you find?
Well, one interesting finding was, merchants are pitched on the notion that the number of customers coming through the door is going to be a massive influx when you purchase a Groupon. And we certainly saw that from the data. You could see the Yelp reviews clearly surging in the months subsequent to the Groupon offer. The more interesting thing, though, was with respect to how these users perceived Groupon. Looking at an aggregate measure, looking across the entire set of 2,000 deals, we found that after the Groupon offer ran, the rating, as perceived by Yelp reviewers, went down a little bit. The average star rating. And in particular, those reviewers who mentioned Groupon in their reviews were considerably lower in terms of the way they perceived the merchant.
So Groupon sales bring many more customers, but also more negative reviews.
That was the case on average. And mm-hmm. I want to clarify that this is across a large set of deals. Each individual merchant's reception was different.
So any theories as to why this happens? I was doing some reading about it. I mean, could it be that, the folks who search and hunt for bargains are more critical? Is that the idea?
That's one hypothesis. We really don't investigate the whys in our study. I think looking at the text analysis and conducting a text analysis of both sentiment analysis and figuring out why individuals didn't like the Groupon or didn't perceive the Groupon merchant to be as good as advertised is really open to debate, but criticality is certainly a consideration. Mm. Also, I think preparedness is potentially a factor. Mm. The merchants have to be prepared for the much larger set of individuals coming in and perusing their wares.
John Byers at Harvard Business School, let me bring you into this conversation. In your working paper, I'm just going to quote one line, voucher discounts are worthwhile if they attract new customers who regularly return paying full price for future visits. That seems to be sort of one of the big ifs, right? And are you able to determine if that is happening?
Well, we see very little evidence that it is happening. The paper, of course, focuses on understanding the mathematical basis for the suggestion that this could even be profitable for a merchant. If you just pause and think about it like a kindergartner, it's remarkable to think the restaurant sells these vouchers for half price and then only takes half of the half. How are they going to make money if they're selling food at 3/4 off? Boy, that sounds tough. Could it ever be possible at all? The only way that one could get there is by hoping that some of those customers come back paying full price.
And of course, Ben, I'm sorry, I was confusing my guest. That's Ben Edelman at the Harvard Business School. John Byers is in the studio with me. He's from BU. Sorry for that confusion. Ben Edelman, just to follow up with you, you also write, if vouchers prompt many longtime customers to use discounts, offering them reduces profits. That's one of the questions, too, right? Longtime customers buying up a Groupon and going to a place they would go anyway, but paying a discount. And I have to say, this is consistent with my experience. I tend to be pretty loyal to the restaurants that I visit. The only time I've ever used a Groupon is to go back to a restaurant that I would have gone to anyway.
Well, every time that happens, it's 3/4 of the base check taken out of the restaurant's top line, and it falls straight to the bottom line. You would have paid $40 for $40 worth of sushi. Instead, you paid Groupon $20, of which only 10 flowed through to the restaurant. So Groupon made 10 on that transaction. You saved 20, and the restaurant lost 30. Pretty tough math there.
So is it your view that going forward long term that this is just not a sustainable business model, or are you not ready to make that kind of conclusion?
Well, it could be sustainable if enough customers came back paying full price, but at the very least, Groupon hasn't put together the evidence to convince even the most generous critics that's going to happen, is likely to happen, is currently happening. Far more likely, of course, is that folks bounce back and forth to whichever merchants are offering discounts this week and this month, and that's not going to be making money for any of the merchants who sign up.
Listeners, we're talking about Groupon, which offers a great deal to consumers, but is it a good deal for businesses, and does it offer a sustainable business model? We'd love to hear from you whether or not you're a business owner or a customer. You can give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. I want to read a statement from Groupon. Groupon is getting ready for an IPO, and it's therefore legally mandated quiet period when they can't comment publicly on the specifics of their business. They did, however, offer this statement to us. It's been documented that any time an influx of customers visits a business, their online reviews tend to see a decrease in quality. This effect holds true for online as well as traditional advertising such as print, broadcast, radio. The statement goes on to say, Groupon is still the most effective and guaranteed marketing method for reaching hundreds of thousands of new customers and getting them into your business and engaged. And let me introduce someone who probably agrees with that statement. Jeff Janowski, he's the chef and owner of Blue Ribbon Barbecue, which has restaurants in Arlington and Newton. And Jeff Janowski, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
And your barbecue is delicious. I've had it several times over the years. So nice to meet the man behind the barbecue.
Thank you.
Now, your restaurants, Blue Ribbon, has just set a national record for Groupon sales with close to 17,000 deals. This was just reported. So obviously, Jeff, you regard Groupon as a pretty good deal for your business, right?
Well, we did that almost a year ago, and we collected quite a lot of data ourselves. And some of the facts that I just heard are, they're a little bit skewed in that we felt this was a good deal based on our data. And some of the data that I just heard is that the deal is a bit more negotiable. Hmm. You know, first thing you want to do is know your business and know that you can create a deal with Groupon that's better than the 50% that, you know, they're advertising. There's also some overspending that happens when a customer comes in with a coupon, and that makes it well worth having that customer come in just once.
I see. But so then, overspending meaning that they spend beyond what they initially intended to do with the Groupon?
That's correct.
I see.
The visibility that you get when they buy the coupon or they see the email that goes out is to hundreds of thousands of people. And that alone is some good advertising for you. But the ones that purchase it, they might come in once or more than once. But when they come in, we've shown through our data that they are spending quite a bit more above the coupon.
Now, I'm imagining that if you've sold so many of these, that you have to deal with a big increase in numbers. Have you had to add staff, or do you do that? Do you prepare for that once these coupons go out?
Absolutely. Before we signed the deal with Groupon, we actually studied some other businesses and the failures that those other businesses had, and talked to some of the business owners about the challenges, and we prepared ourselves with more staff and additional phone lines and things like that to handle the business that was coming in right at the beginning. You get a good 10% of your coupon buyers that come in right at the beginning.
So. Ben Edelman, what do you hear when you hear Jeff Janowski? Because I know one of the questions you raise in this working paper is certain businesses might be more appropriately suited for Groupon than others.
Right. So certainly a merchant that is sufficiently shrewd can design an offer that is profitable. Mm-hmm. And kudos to guests for figuring out how to do it. If you make the offer small enough and the discount small enough, then it's that much easier because customers are more likely to spend above the value of the voucher. Problem being, of course, that Groupon isn't always inclined to give the kinds of great terms that are being discussed here. Some restaurants are better able to achieve those terms than others, and woe onto the restaurant that doesn't realize it can be negotiating and should be negotiating to get itself a better deal.
I was struck by a line, this is a question both for you, Ben Edelman, and John Byers as well. This was a line from a recent article in the New York Times on the subject of Groupon. Consumers were being told you will never pay full price again. The merchants were hearing you are going to get new customers who will stick around and pay full price. Disappointment was inevitable. Does that point to a basic flaw in this business model? Let me come to you, John Byers.
Well, I think it's a strongly worded claim by the New York Times article, but I think there is a point to that line. I mean, I think that Groupon is promising or implying something both to the consumer side and the merchant side, and those terms can be at odds with one another. But I think it's possible to navigate, as Jeff has described, it's possible to navigate perhaps a happy medium. A big question, actually, is are there a lot of return visitors? I know Ben's work points to this, and maybe Jeff has some information as well, is to what extent do you attract new customers who are then going to return to your business often?
Yeah, what do you think, Jeff Janowski at Blue Ribbon Barbecue?
Our data showed that we had somewhere in the 8 to 10% range of new customers that came into our business. Now, whether or not they come back, it's too soon to tell.
It's too soon to tell.
But we have seen an increase in revenue, and we attribute some of that to the new customers.
This too soon to tell theme, I mean, I think it runs through everything. I mean, John Byers, just looking at your study, I mean, there's so much more that we don't know because it's such a new phenomenon, isn't it?
I think that's exactly right. I mean, our work is really the short to medium effects. The long-term effects on merchants, even those who experience a short-term decline in their reputation, maybe it rebounds. Maybe this is just a bump in the road. Sure. Maybe it's a very long-term phenomenon that's exacerbated by the short-term negativity.
Listeners, we're talking about Groupon and sites like Groupon that offer discount coupons and this growing phenomenon. I'd like to know what you think. You can give us a call, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Let's go to Amanda, who's calling from Gloucester. Hi, Amanda.
Hi there.
You're on the air. Tell me what's on your mind.
Well, I have an inn in Gloucester. It's called Inn Magnolia, and I have been running these kind of deals for quite a while. I ran a Living Social, a Groupon. I'm actually running a Buy With Me right now. And I think they're amazing. I think it's great for business, and not necessarily for the reasons that would be obvious. I don't think I get a lot of repeat business. I probably get maybe 5% repeat customers paying full price. I also do offer them 20% off to come back, and they do use those 20% discounts. And then I do I make money on the people who are only discounted 20%. One thing that I think is not correct is that one of your speakers said they ask you to do a 50% deal and then they take 50% of that. That's their commission is negotiable. I've never paid 50%.
So you and you heard from Jeff Janowski here of Blue Ribbon Barbecue. He said negotiating these deals is the key. So it sounds like there's some flexibility there, and that's what you experienced.
Yeah, but I think what the key is you have to do the math up front. I mean, you can't run a deal that you're going to lose money on and do a high volume. That is just crazy. That's shooting yourself in the foot.
Right.
You got to make sure that you're making a couple of bucks. And when I do them, I'm probably making, you know, less than $5. But I am paying my costs. I'm paying my housekeepers. I don't have to lay them off during the slow season because I only run these during slow seasons. And, you know, it's important to me to not have to lay off my housekeepers. It's important to me to pay my electric bill. It's important to, you know, there are maintenance costs that I have to pay anyway.
All right. Well, Amanda, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate that. Let's take another call. Justin is on the line from Milton. Hi, Justin.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very well. What's on your mind?
So I've worked with a lot of small businesses over the past couple of years and seen and run some Groupons. And so we've seen a huge uptick. And, you know, we saw some pretty compelling data after running them, one for an auto body in Somerville. But I disagree pretty strongly that the vast majority of businesses running these get return customers out of them. And I think that there's so much daily deal activity going on in the marketplace that the people who buy them are, for the vast majority, just price shopping at this point.
Hmm. All right, Justin. Ben Edelman, let me come to you about that. He mentioned so many daily deals in the marketplace. Groupon, of course, is the 800-pound gorilla, but these sites are proliferating with names like Scavenger, Bloomspot, Living Social, Buy With Me. Do you agree with our last caller there, his concern?
Well, certainly it would be unexpected for many customers to take these offers and come back, you know, 50% of them becoming regulars. That's unrealistic. Jeff gave a number of 8%. 8% sounds fine, sounds pretty good if you imagine those 8% coming back paying full price forever. Of course, the problem for an establishment as well established as Jeff's is that they could also be facing large losses on the customers who would have come anyway, paying full price. I, too, am a fan of what Jeff cooks, and I go a couple times a year, but the last time I went, I did have a voucher, so rather than getting full price from me, he got something less than that. It's a little bit hard to evaluate that as a small businessman. How are you supposed to figure out that this Ben guy would have come and would have paid full price had it not been for the discount? It doesn't really pop out in your spreadsheets yet. It's an important factor to consider.
Ben, he's not talking about you, of course. Let's go to another call. Jesse is calling from Littleton. Hi, Jesse.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, glad to do it.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this issue for a little while here because I've kind of noticed, I mean, yeah, you're getting like a deal that almost seems too good to be true, half off of, it seems like pretty much whatever it is. And one of the things I've been thinking about is there's two factors that I've been considering, and that's how commoditized the product is that the business is offering, versus, you know, with relation to how well they're going to be able to generate repeat business. So my thoughts are, like, if I use Groupon a lot for things like dry cleaning, and that I feel like is going to generate just about zero repeat business because, you know, when my Groupon for this dry cleaner runs out, chances are I can get another Groupon for another dry cleaner. And, you know, dry cleaning is dry cleaning in my mind. I'm not really a dry cleaning snob. So that seems to me like one thing where, and then also, it seems like a lot of Groupons are also really, businesses that seem to thrive off of one-off transactions. And by that, I mean, you know, maybe you'll see Harbor Tours for half off or something like that. Whereas, you know, who really is going to go on the same Harbor Tour, you know, more than once? Maybe they'll tend to tell their friends and
yeah,
they'll get publicity about, you know, how great the Harbor Tour was or how great the, you know.
No, I get the point, Jesse. These are great points, and let me put one of them to John Byers. This idea that, and I've been tempted too, you know, I'll get these Groupon offers and I'll think, oh, because there's a Groupon offer, maybe I'll do that. But it isn't necessarily something that I'm sort of looking to do on a regular basis.
Yeah, I think there can be offers like that that are tempting to try. I think the caller's point is well taken, that when the product is highly commoditized, the merchant is running a significant risk of just having a one-off. Mm-hmm. And I think our previous caller indicated that if you can make money even off these one-offs, then you are really winning at in a win-win situation by pursuing a Groupon. I'd point out another point is that Groupon has extremely broad reach. So if you're a merchant, you've got to be prepared for the in the Boston area, something like a million emails are going out and representing your business if you're the featured daily deal of the day. And some businesses are well suited to that, that they have they're attractive to a broad audience, and the merchants can attract across a wide demographic range, perhaps like Jeff's business.
Yeah.
Everybody loves barbecue. Right. But there exist other businesses for which you know, the demographics may not provide the best fit, and the customers coming in off the offer may not be as well suited to the merchant's offerings.
Let's go to Katrina, who's calling from Arlington. Hi, Katrina. Katrina, you're on the air. Are you with us?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can, very well, thanks.
Okay, great. No, this is interesting because there's something I've been wondering about. So there's supposed to be some ridiculously high rate of gift cards out there that are never redeemed and that merchants take the cash in up front and nobody ever goes and actually spends the gift card that they have.
Yeah.
So I wonder how much that applies to the Groupon situation. So, for example, I bought a coupon or a voucher for a restaurant. It's sitting in my inbox, and I could very well forget about it and never claim it. So doesn't the vendor actually benefit from that scenario? They collect the cash up front, but they don't actually have to render services. I'll take my question offline because...
great, Katrina. We appreciate the question. I'm not sure who to put that question to.
I'll take that.
Yeah,
I wrote
ahead.
An article on that very subject.
Ben Edelman, it's all yours.
The consumer protection aspects of these discount vouchers. And you can go state by state and read the definition of gift certificate. I've got the Massachusetts definition of gift certificate right up on my screen. A writing in any medium evidencing the giving of consideration in exchange for the right to redeem the medium for goods, food, services, credit, or money of at least equal value. Yup, that's a Groupon. And that means that the Massachusetts 7-year expiration rule would seem to apply to Groupons. Notwithstanding that it says right on the Groupon that it's only valid for 6 months, the fact of the matter is that in Massachusetts, you've got 7 years. So you could go into Blue Ribbon 6.5 years later and want your barbecue. Blue Ribbon thought that when you hadn't claimed it after 6 months, they could treat you as forgotten and book that as pure profit, not rendering any services, but not so under our state consumer protection laws. Subject of considerable litigation at this point, more than 10 different lawsuits around the country.
Very interesting. And any idea when it comes to Groupon about how many unredeemed Groupon coupons there are out there?
We hear numbers like 15%. It would be interesting to hear from Jeff just how many of his customers ended up coming through and what he's doing for the ones who come after the supposed expiration date.
Mm. Let's go to Lindsay, who's calling from Medford. Hi, Lindsay. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Happy to do it.
I just wanted to quickly talk to my personal experience, and most of my friends' experiences with the whole Groupon thing. I have bought a few of them, and every single one I've taken advantage of, I felt like I wasn't treated like a normal customer, like I was part of the herd, and I got horrible experiences with every single one, so I just stopped taking part of them in general.
Well, Lindsay, it's a great issue that you raise, and we've got a business owner right here, Jeff Janowski. Do Groupon customers get treated differently at Blue Ribbon Barbecue?
Absolutely not. We do our best to treat every customer the same, and you know, it's difficult right at the beginning after you sell a number of coupons like this. There's an influx of business. 10 or 15% of them come back in the first weekend. So the lines go out the door, and you know, it forces people to wait a little bit longer. But you're going to get the same service and quality of food. We just have to pump out more and fast.
But there isn't a sort of sense across your staff that, you know, as we just heard from Lindsay, like, oh, just another Groupon customer, this feeling of these people are coming in just because it's a good deal. They're not necessarily going to be coming back. I mean, you could understand where the question comes from, but no. Do you sort of put out the order that, hey, you know, we've got to treat everyone just the same?
We put out an order that says 1,100 new customers, we have an opportunity to keep them for the future.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's what our goal is, to get them in the door and treat them well so that they will come back. That's our main goal.
Ben Edelman, I'd like to just come back to you. Our time is almost out, but future research, what do we need to understand? Where's the research going, and what is time going to reveal?
I think the most important goal for merchants is better data. It should be the case that Jeff knows not just how many of his prior customers came back using a Groupon or other voucher, but of those Groupon customers, how much did they spend above and beyond? How does that compare to the spending of his regular customers? Did those Groupon customers come back after that? These are questions that computers are well suited to answering. Wouldn't it be something if Jeff could get the same kind of analytics that a grocery store or an airline has? I think it would be great for small businesses when they get that kind of data, because they'll be able to focus their marketing spending that much better.
And John Byers, I know you have to go teach a class. Same question to you before we wrap up.
Yeah, Jeff has approached this from a very quantitative way, and I think I would echo Ben's sentiment that approaching this from a data analytics standpoint is the right way to go. Many merchants are approaching this sort of as uncharted territory, and uncharted territory is almost by definition a risky place to be.
Okay, well, there we have it. John Byers, professor of computer science at Boston University, co-author of a study on Groupon. Thanks so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We also heard from Ben Edelman, professor of business administration at Harvard Business School. Ben Edelman, good to have you.
Thank you.
And Jeff Janowski, chef and owner of Blue Ribbon Barbecue. Thank you so much for coming in. We're very grateful.
Thanks for having me.
Stay with us. Up next, Ben Bernanke at the Boston Fed. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.